Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 305, Vic Monagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019, taking your calls on the baseball, on the Knicks tonight. And I was just talking it through with Marco. Look, I'm just saying, Brunson's been great. Brunson's been good in this series. Brunson's the best closer in basketball. I love Jalen Brunson. I'm just, you know, this is a game that he has to go win. That's all. He has to go win it. They have to win this game. They have to win this series. And, you know, and again, I mean, certainly for the coach, I think there is an excellent chance that this is the last series Tibbs coaches if he doesn't win it. I really do. I think, and I'm not even sure, like, I would give him another year and let this group gel together one more year. But this might not even be the group if they lose this series. And this game scares me, and this series now scares me. I got to be honest. That effort at the Garden, and I know you want to say, oh, the same thing happened last year. And it did. They also had two stars in Embiid and Maxey went off. I know Cunningham scored some points in the fourth quarter. I get it. But slightly different. Slightly different than what Maxey did last year. And this team is supposed to be better. They're supposed to be growing. And they have another superstar in Karl Anthony Towns. They didn't have one in the playoffs with them last year. They are underdogs heading into tonight, and I can promise you, it is going to be... We talk about playoff experience and the importance of it. And it is. It's invaluable. But if they lose this game tonight and they have to come back for a game seven, the Pistons have all the experience they need at Madison Square Garden. They're going back to a building. They just won two out of three. And even in game one, you could argue for most of the game, they're the better team. And they will have zero pressure on them while literally the Knicks, in my estimation, the coach may very well be coaching for his job. And this group, including its superstar, Jalen Brunson, are playing for, you know, legacy. You can't lose this game. You want to be and I know LeBron James just lost his series and apparently he's, you know, talking about the, and I guess the, can you imagine having Luka and LeBron and losing in five? It's unbelievable to me that they lost this series in five. and they were getting, you know, beat up in the middle, and LeBron's making quips about not having a center. I mean, they gave you Luka. I know they traded away Anthony Davis, but you got Luka. But he has his championships. He has his legacy. This hurts Luka's legacy. The Knicks have to find a way to win this series, and I'm getting nervous about it. That's all. Because if they lose this game, Game 7 scares the hell. I think there's a better chance that they win this game than that they win Game 7. Not that they don't have a chance in Game 7, but I think it's better than 50-50 they win this game tonight, because I think they're the better team. They've proven they can win in this building. I think talent will come through. I expect Jalen Brunson to fully continue his legacy as a great closer and a great player. Like, I'm expecting it. I still think it's better than 50-50. You can't tell me it's better than 50-50 they win Game 7 off of losing both games with an opportunity to close it out, heading back into a building that the Pistons have been successful with, all the pressure in the world on the Knicks and none on the Pistons. None. I am more confident they win tonight than that they win Game 7. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Antonio in Dover Plains. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, C-Mac. What's going on?
What's up?
All right. C-Mac, I want to talk about the Mets and the Knicks, if you allow me to.
Sure.
With the Mets, Juan Soto.
Yes.
This guy, I'm losing my patience with him already. I was giving him time. But it seems to me every time he goes to a bat, Lindor is on base. Lindor's doing his job. Lindor's always on base when he goes to bat. This guy looks miserable. He doesn't laugh. He doesn't do the shuffle anymore. And it's either double play or a strikeout or a little ground ball to the pitcher or to a shortstop.
Well, I don't know if that's really fair, to be honest with you. He's hit the ball hard. He's got I think he's leading.
He's leading the team. He's doing nothing.
He hasn't had success. Agreed. He hasn't had success. He doesn't have the RBIs. He doesn't have the home runs. He's getting on base at a fine clip, but he's not. I agree. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's fair to say it's nothing but strikeouts and little ground balls. I just don't think that's fair. But your overall point of him being extremely disappointing, absolutely.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. This guy, we thought, like, bases loaded up, like this game that we just lost. I said, all right, yeah. Soto, we got Lindor and Soto coming up. We're winning this game. What happens? All right, he gets a walk. Like, I don't want a walk. They hit a 2-run home run and finish the game.
Well, they got 30 strikes, but I agree. But yeah, and listen, the crowd has been giving him, you know, standing ovations leading into at bats. They've been waiting
there
for this.
I
yeah.
was there.
Yeah. And he swings 3-0 and hits the fly ball. That's disappointing. I have no problem with him swinging 3-0, but
yeah, but I think he needs a day off or something. I don't know what's going on with him. But
he doesn't take days off.
He needs it. Or he has to do something. I don't know. Smile or do something with the team. With the Knicks, I don't even listen. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I suffered too much when Patrick Ewing in the 90s. And with this team, why we even bother? They're struggling with a team that they shouldn't be struggling with. Even if we beat Detroit, we're going to get swept by Boston, because if we're struggling with this team, we have no chance against Boston.
It's different. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think if you want to just say they have no chance against Boston, that's fine. I don't know if, like, you can necessarily say just because they're struggling with the Pistons. Listen, I don't like the way they came out and are unable to put their foot on the throat of the Pistons. I agree. But I'm telling you right now, as great as the Celtics are, they're not going to play defense like this. They are not going to be as tough defensively as the Pistons have been. I don't know if you can be. It's some of the best smothering defense I have seen in the NBA in a while. Like, they're all over them. And it was allowed for the first four games. We'll see how this game six is officiated back in Detroit. But, like, I get it. They're more talented than this team, and it should be a little easier. And certainly Boston's way more talented than them, including more talented than the Knicks. But it's not so much the struggles necessarily, because again, they're going to provide different challenges. Like, I'm more worried about the Knicks defensively against the Celtics than I am defensively against the Pistons. Like, it's a different matchup. And we've seen this before. We've seen teams struggle against lesser teams and then have better series. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily look at this and go, well, just because of this, it means they can't beat the Celtics. I think you have a very good argument that they just can't beat the Celtics. That the Celtics are too good. They've dominated in the regular season. And I have real questions about this Knicks team that aren't even necessarily brought even further to the standpoint or to the forefront, rather, because of this series. Like, there are just flaws with this Knicks team, and the Celtics are just, I mean, the Knicks have been really bad at allowing open threes, and the Celtics are the best shooting three. I believe they're the best three-point shooting team in the league. Like, there's a lot of issues that the Celtics provide that they have been unable to come near solving during the regular season. But I think that's just an easy, hey, you can't beat the Pistons, you can't beat the Celtics. Well, I think that's a little easy, considering I don't think any of us thought they would beat the... If they swept the Pistons, would we all be saying, oh, this is great, now they're going to go take on the Celtics? Like, I'd feel better about it, I suppose. But to me, I just hated the energy of the team, and you can't have games where Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson perform the way they did. And, you know, even game two. Now, I know Jalen Brunson scored a lot of points. He took a million shots. You better score 30 if you shoot as much as Jalen Brunson did in the second half of that game. I didn't think Jalen Brunson played good in game. In the two losses, I don't think Jalen Brunson played well at all. He did not play well in game two. He did not play well in game five.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He was excellent in game four, especially in the second half and in the fourth quarter coming back from the injury. And game one, with the 21-0 run, he was at the forefront of it, but a lot of guys played into it. And then game three, I thought Karl-Anthony Towns was just as important as he is. But again, this isn't me knocking him. I'm just saying, let's add him to the mix because we're ready to really kill the coach. We're ready to kill the rest of the team. He's the captain of the team. This it all falls to him. Like, the stars are who win and lose. That's they get the L's and W's next to their name. And this is a game and now a series that scares me, and I want to see Brunson close it out. He's the best closer in the game. Go close this out. Kevin and Kopog, what's up, Kevin?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's up, brother?
So, the Dodgers. I mean, we know what the Dodgers are, but if the Mets trade for an ace at the deadline, like Alcantara or Alcantara,
yeah.
I mean, Senga, Minaya, Alcantara, that can't compete with the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think it can, absolutely. I absolutely think it can. with the way they're playing right now and the way they are. Like, listen, you got to see how Manaea is when he comes back, but the way the rest of the starting pitching is going, absolutely. Right now, you can't tell me right now the Mets can't compete with the Dodgers. They absolutely can. They're playing better than the Dodgers right now.
Who's instead of a Contra, who's the other guys that are going to be at the deadline, like aces?
I don't know about aces. Castillo with Seattle, who has been an ace, depending on where they are. I believe they're still in first place right now, so I don't know if they'd be shipping him away, but there's a chance because they've got all this young controllable pitching that they're going to need to give contracts to. They could look to move him. That's been a big name. You'll see how it shakes out. I don't know. Alcantara's the big one just because Miami's always willing to ship guys. You got to look at the teams and see who's out there. Aces, like the top of the staff, that's hard to get. It's hard to come by. So we'll see as the free agent market goes. But if they add a top arm, which I don't even know if they're going to. Like, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if – why would you? Like, the way they're pitching, why would you? Like we can call – it's literally the strength of their team right now. Like, wouldn't you want to add – a center fielder? Wouldn't you want to add, like, I don't even know if I'm maybe now with Minter hurt, a big time left handed reliever, which would probably be easier to find than an ace starting pitcher. Like, I don't know. You can add an arm in the rotation. It doesn't have to be a top of the. It just could be someone they like. And look what they've turned everybody they like into. Like right now, I don't even know if you need to trade for a starter. It's something that we've all said and all have assumed and all have, you know, speculated because of all of our expectations of what the rotation would be. The rotation is so far better than any of our expectations that I don't know right now you want to trade prospects away for starting pitching. You have to see who's available, if it makes sense, the age, the contract, because I don't think they want to pay starting pitching. And why would you when you can turn Griffin Canning into a sub-3 ERA? I mean, do I want to go into a playoff series with dominant starters ready? Sure. I guess I would. Guys with names and guys with track records and guys with previous success and dominant stuff, yes. But like we'll see where the Mets are when they get there. We'll see where the market is. But, I mean, look at how well they've done with what they have. I'd be hesitant to give up big-time prospects for an ace. How much better could he pitch? But as far as competing with the Dodgers, look, we haven't had a repeat champion since 2000 with the New York Yankees. Like, the Dodgers have been just okay since the 8-0 start. They are a very good, very talented team that is going to be very difficult to beat. But with the way the Mets have played, think about it right now. The Mets have been the best team in baseball, best record in baseball. They haven't even had Juan Soto get off yet. And their pitching staff is bar none the best starting pitching in baseball and up until recently the best bullpen in baseball. Like, absolutely. The Mets compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers. There is not a doubt. There should not be a doubt from anyone. And the way you said it, like that can't compete with the Dodgers. I don't think anyone is saying the Mets can't compete with the Dodgers. Why not? And they've been dealing with injuries, right? Glasnow, Snell. After a really hot start, the former Met, what's his name? Conforto has been struggling. Muncy's been struggling. They have not been a dominant force. They started out 8-0. It's not like they've been taking baseball by storm. The Mets have a better record. So, yeah. And look, we'll see. I'm not saying they shouldn't add an ace if they can. They should add everything they can because this is the year. Like, I'd be willing to move a lot to improve myself, but we got to see where they are. Right now, my guess would be the bullpen. And maybe another outfielder. Because I don't know how much better you can make the rotation. They've been so good. And right now it feels like with the Minter injury and Diaz with his hip and, you know, Stanek coming back to earth, that I would rather go invest in the in a bullpen. Plus, it's easier to find. And it costs less. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. We'll continue to talk baseball. We'll get into the Yankees. And, I mean, Aaron Judge is incredible. It's just, I mean, he's hitting, oh, he's hitting, what is it, 424 now? 417? We're a month into the season. It is now May 1st. And Aaron Judge is well above 400. And he hits another home run in this game last night. He is getting better. It's unbelievable that he's actually getting better. And it's hard to every night he continues to impress. Now, they've lost this series, but overall, I would tell you, obviously the Mets, if you want to talk about both teams, where they are and what the expectations were, the Mets have for me, far exceeded. I knew the Mets were going to be good. We all expected the Mets to be good. But the Mets have exceeded my expectations, certainly in the rotation. And just overall, they've been dominant at home. They just lost their second game at home. It's May 1st. They've lost two games in their building. And the pitching has been incredible. Alonso's having the best year of his career, bar none. Lindor is having a great start to his year, and if he plays like last year, he's going to have an incredible season. Plus, he's still the best leadoff hitter in the game to start games specifically, and Juan Soto hasn't even started hitting. The Mets have had an incredible start to their season, and for the Yankees, while it's not nearly as good, and there is some flaws to this team and issues, I'd be hard-pressed to find a Yankee fan who would have thought a month in or would have been upset if I told you a month in the Yankees were five games over 500 and in first place. There are definitely some issues. And we got to, you know, we could talk about Volpe. We could talk about the bottom of the lineup. We could talk about Bellinger and what he's done so far this month. And obviously the bottom of the rotation. They just got Clark Schmidt back. And, you know, it's only been a couple of starts. You're hoping he can find himself. But right now, Cookie Carrasco and Will Warren, like, I don't know if they're major league pitchers. In fact, I feel like Carrasco isn't, although he's had two or three decent starts over the last month. But right now, this Yankee, they're not going to go on. It's hard to go on long winning streaks. Like, that's just the bottom line. With the Yankees rotation, it is hard to consistently win series. It is hard to go on long winning streaks because they have two starting pitchers they're throwing out that aren't up to snuff. Just plain and simple, they scare you. You know, Carrasco and Warren scare you every time out. And the bullpen's been great, and the offense, believe it or not, has been really good. But this rotation, it's just not good enough to have sustained winning. So you're going to have when, you know, two of them throw in a series, you're going to, even at Baltimore, you can easily lose a series because you are throwing out lesser starting pitchers. As bad as Baltimore is, and the Yankees absolutely should have won this game, they should have won the first game. And losing this series to Baltimore stinks. They're in last place, and you would hope to just establish dominance over a bad team. But ultimately, if we're taking, you know, we shouldn't, typically you do this at the end of May at Memorial Day, but if we want to look a month in, wild success for the Mets and overall success for the Yankees.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 3:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. A devastating loss for the Lakers, man. They were the trendy pick. They were playing some of the best basketball down the stretch of the season. And to get wiped away in five games for LeBron to lose this series, LeBron and Luka. And now, you know, the talk is going to be, see, like anyone, oh, it was such, everyone was so upset about this trade, blah, blah, blah. It made them worse. They got beat up by Rudy Gobert in the paint and they didn't have a center. Luka's soft. LeBron is old. I mean, it's going to be an easy... I mean, you know who Nico Harrison is, probably the happiest man in America that they just got beat like that. But that is, I mean, I am shocked. That one really surprised me. Someone called me up yesterday and said they're surprised by the Golden State series, that Golden State had a lead in that series. I'm like, Golden State is a perennial, you know, playoff winning team. Like, they know how to win these series. They've been there. Kerr's been there. Curry's been there. Green's been there. Like, this that team, and now they have playoff Jimmy. Like, you're shocked they're beating a very solid young Houston team? I'm not at all. I am shocked. And Minnesota's a good team. Don't get me wrong. Minnesota had a really great year with 49 wins. But I thought it could be a hard-fought series. I thought the Lakers definitely would come out, and I certainly didn't expect it to be over in five. That's an embarrassing loss. This was like LeBron's last swan song before he hands over the reins to Luka, and it's going to be Luka's team from this point on. And I mean, that's probably, I'm trying to think. I mean, is this the worst loss LeBron's had in his career? Is this the worst playoff loss when you take into account they added Luka? They were the trendy pick. A lot of people thought they were going to come out of the West. It might be his worst playoff loss in the first round like this. It might be his worst. I mean, him and Luka losing five. That's hard to believe. 888-808-1019. It's also, I brought it up the other night too. How crazy is this Bill Belichick story with his girlfriend? I mean, every day it's another thing. Now, we saw the other day that Carolina is unhappy and nervous about her role in all of this. She sent an email declaring her like the CEO of the Belichick brand. It's the main reason why Hard Knocks and Carolina fell through. She's sending emails from Belichick, like she's sending emails Bill sent to CBS to try and justify the behavior and their frustration over the interview. Like, it's crazy. I mean, it really feels like this is Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest head coach in the history of the NFL, and certainly the greatest living head coach, arguably in all sports. I know Phil Jackson has more championships, but I mean, he did have Jordan, and I know he's got Tom Brady. I wouldn't put Tom Brady in that Michael Jordan level, but as far as just talent goes, although he was a great winner, I don't want to get into the stupid Tom Brady thing. But Bill Belichick, I mean, this is a guy who doesn't need anything from anyone. And it feels like she's leading the final chapter of his career. Just an odd situation. An odd situation. I mean, just watching that interview and watching him with that Navy shirt with all the holes in it, I was just like, what is going on? This is so bizarre. And then the other story is Jeff Ulbrich and being fined. The team was fined. The Atlanta Falcons were fined $250,000, and Jeff Ulbrich was fined $100,000 for his son's pranking of Shedeur Sanders, as well as Abdul Carter and Tyler Warren, a bunch of different players, apparently. And here's what I'll say. I understand why the NFL made the punishment so punitive, because they have to. Like, this can't happen. You have to make sure that information is confidential. You cannot allow it. Like, it's just pranks. Who knows what else is available to that? But the NFL can't allow it. It was a terrible look for the NFL. And so I understand it. But can I just be honest for a second? Because I talked about this a lot. I feel bad for Shedeur. Throughout this whole thing, he's kind of become, I wouldn't say a victim, because that's not the right word, because I think he did a lot of this to himself, but for me, a sympathetic figure. Like, I feel bad for him. I know many don't, and I understand he did it to himself. And he did it by being cocky and entitled and some of the qualities that we don't typically associate with sympathy. But I do. I feel sorry for him because I think he's a better player than where he was drafted, and it became a big thing, and he had expectations. I can imagine being in his shoes, expecting something only to be embarrassed in front of the whole world. So I feel bad for him, and I'll be rooting for him to have a good career. I will. Now, if he maybe he'll prove to be unwarranted of that, and he's a self-entitled, selfish player and person for the rest of his career, and I'll change my opinion. But right now, I'm rooting for him. But having said that, and I felt terrible for him getting pranked, you know, that's a terrible thing to do. Is it a $100,000 fine bad, though? Like, I don't know. Is it the worst thing you could do? It's a prank phone call. He didn't hurt anybody. Well, he didn't, you know, physically hurt anybody. I mean, sticks and stones. He made a phone call and said, hey, yeah, listen, it's the Saints. We're going to draft you. Nope, you're going to have to wait. Ha, 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 and hung up the phone. Like, I don't want to act like it's the worst thing someone can do. Listen, I also don't want to hear excuses that he's just a kid. I mean, he's in college. Like, I understand we all do dumb things in college, too. But, like, it's not like he's 12 years old. He's a grown man. He's 21 years old. But also, like, is it worth a, like, just the crime? Because they're not being penalized for the crime of making the phone call. They're being penalized because the NFL can't have people being careless with that sort of information. That I get. So I understand why it's that punitive. But, like, $100,000 because he made a prank phone call that, you know, didn't hurt anybody, just maybe embarrassed some people and made someone feel, you know, took away an excited moment for someone. And I'm not down, like, that stinks. And if I was Shador, I don't know if I'd take the kid's phone call. I actually think he's I think that was a good job by him, by willing to at least listen and accept, take someone's apology. I would have been furious. But at the same time, is it that terrible a thing? It's a prank phone call. We've all made them. At least, you know, maybe you haven't. But, and I know I get them all the time. Should the Buchanan guy, I'm finding him $100,000. Go, Buchanan, go, Buchanan. That's $100,000. Send it over. I'll email you my PayPal. But I don't know. Can you imagine costing your father $100,000? And Jeff Ulbrich, I mean, he makes decent money, right? He's been a coach in the NFL for half a season. He's been working in the NFL for a while. He probably makes decent money. $100,000 hurts Jeff Ulbrich. There is no doubt. $100,000 is not, you know, a small amount for Jeff. Can you imagine costing your father $100,000? Oh, my God. That is tough. That is tough. I can't imagine that. Like, I go into the bathroom and my kids, you know, use too much toilet paper and I'm pissed off. My son spilled milk everywhere the other day. I was annoyed. It was the end of the milk, the last bit of milk. I'm like, yeah, that was another bowl of cereal there. You know how much milk costs these days? What are you doing? Put a cap on that thing. Never, don't even get me on, like, raspberries have become a luxury. Let me just tell you that right now. And maybe they were always expensive, but I'm not, like, my wife, we went shopping today because I have my son's communion coming up. So we're having, like, a small get-together at the house, and we have to buy some things, paper goods, and some different things. And we were looking at the fruit, and when I tell you, like, it was $6 for maybe 15 or 20 raspberries. I'm like, we can't buy this, Sarah. Like, I can't justify. They're going to eat it for lunch tomorrow. It's going to be gone in one sitting between the two of them. I can't. It can't just be 50. Raspberries are a luxury. You used to be able to tell how well off people were by what kind of car they drove or what kind of house they have. Now it's what kind of fruit they feed their kids. You walk into a house and they're handing out raspberries. Like, oh, raspberries. Must be doing well. Good first quarter. What are you investing in? Are you following that app that shows you what all the congressmen are doing? I knew it. Like, there is, it's crazy. Fruit is crazy. Blueberries, too. Like, it's just, it's almost like you do, you know, they love fruit. My little guy practically doesn't eat anything. He loves pizza, pancakes, peanut butter. That's about it. And then fruit, bananas, strawberries. Like, he is a very picky eater. Very, very picky. He's not even into, like, french fries and chicken fingers. It's, like, impossible to get him things. Pizza, pancakes, peanut butter, crackers, and fruit. That's it. Anything else is a major chore trying to get down his gullet. But yeah, raspberries are crazy. It's insane. If you want to buy, a dollar a raspberry, go ahead. I ain't doing it. Only one man would dare give me the raspberry. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Disappointing loss.
Yeah, disappointing loss, disappointing series.
To lose to them, come on, they were 2 years ago.
They were in the playoffs. Last year they lost, they were three games behind, they finished three games out behind the Yankees last year.
And 2 years ago they won the division and the Yankees were 19 games.
Yeah, listen, and it sucks to lose. It sucks to lose to them because I think they're a joke of an organization.
If I were
an Orioles fan, I would be fuming at what happened to this team. Because you're right, 2 years ago, new ownership, all these young prospects, 100 wins. Then they make the trade for Burns last year, and like they have done nothing. They've allowed this team to, like, I know the offense isn't as good as it should be. Like, right, you know, Holiday, the number one overall pick, hasn't really gotten going. Henderson hasn't had a great start to his year. Mountcastle, after a really promising rookie season, hasn't been quite the same hitter. Partly the reason why they brought in the ridiculous outfield. But, okay, so the offense isn't hitting, and they should be a little bit better. But they invested nothing into this team. Can you imagine being an Orioles fan? Yeah,
and they let Burns go.
And they let Burns walk. Can you imagine being an Orioles fan all those years of nothing, being the bottom of the division for years, the doormat of for the Yankees and the Red Sox for years? You finally have this season. You're full of young talent. You win 100 games, and 2 years later, you look like this? Like, oh, my God, just
boom. I go back to the days of Brooks and Frank and Boog.
Sure.
I mean, when they had ownership that cared.
Yeah.
For some reason, when they changed ownership, I forget when, in the late 70s or early 80s, they switched ownership. That ownership proceeded to let the team fall apart. Okay?
Yeah.
And he's batting 427.
Who?
Judge.
Yeah, oh, no. For some reason, I thought you said 247. Yeah, no, 427. No,
his OPS is almost 1.3.
Yeah, no, he is having an incredible start. I mean, and thank you for the call, Stu. It's almost like I remember it was the night after the tournament. So it was like the night after the Friday night tournament games. And the new host over at the network, Pat Boyle, was actually running the board for me. And he texted me on the way home because a caller called up and was telling me that I wish he would call in. If you are still listening, I got to go back and listen because I remember what night it was. And I got to get the caller's name. But if you are listening, please call me back. But I had a caller who told me that Freddie Freeman is a better hitter because Judge is all or nothing. And that Freddie Freeman hits more singles. And singles and doubles are actually tougher than home runs. That they're harder to hit. And I remember just like losing it. One, because Judge isn't all or nothing, and two, the idea that singles are harder than home runs is laughable. But now Judge is just, I mean, he gets an RBI in this game late in the game to make it a one-run game. They didn't even want to throw him a strike. The catcher was set up so far outside the strike zone, and the two-seamer ran back into the edge of the zone, and Judge laces it between short and third for a base hit to score the run. Like, he is on fire right now. Like, we don't, I know, and again, this was part of the reason that I kind of opened with comparing on some level Brunson and Judge and just the expectations and how they should be the same. Although his performances, I completely agree, Brunson has been a better playoff performer than Judge. There's no doubt. I think it's slightly different. NBA players, for the most, it's harder to be, you can't strike out as much as you, as an NBA player. It's just, the game doesn't lend itself to be that bad for that long. But he's been great. But he's still got to win. And the expectation is if he doesn't win, he won't be thought of the same. And as I'm talking about how great Judge is, I can hear the people sitting, listening to the radio going, bro, he was terrible in the World Series. I don't care how great he is. But he is so good now. We need to forget that noise for a second. Not that it's not valid. Not that his playoff performances don't need to change. They absolutely do. We talk so much about winning a championship in the Judge window. Judge needs to be a part of that. Like, the idea that he's not living up to the bill is part of the reason they haven't won in the Judge window. So I'm not trying, but I'm just saying, put that aside for a minute and just, we should recognize what we are watching, because it's starting to get to the point that we're watching Babe Ruth, that we're watching Lou Gehrig, that we're watching Willie Mays and Ty Cobb. I mean, we are watching Barry Bonds. It's going to get to the point where he's the best hitter any of us have ever seen. Like, it's getting there. He is incredible. Every night he's on base 2-3 times. He's hitting .427 to go along with his 10 home runs. He leads Major League Baseball in average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, WAR. Like, you name the stat, Judge leads the world in it. It's crazy. And watching the games, you expect him to come through in every at bat. And he's striking out less. Like, he's getting better. He's getting better. Now, he's had stretches where he's hit more home runs. 10 home runs in a month is not peak Judge, home run-wise. But just straight-up offensive capabilities to be less easy to pitch to strike out less, to have as many base hits as he's had. Like, right now, we're seeing arguably the best version of Judge, which is the best hitter in the game, which is one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen. And yes, I understand Yankee fans and Yankee haters. You can point to the World Series. You can point to dropping the ball. You can point to his postseason struggles. They're fair. It's valid. And that will have to change, or he'll never be beloved and we'll look at him differently, which was my point about Brunson. Not that he's bad or that I'm pissed at him or that he better do this or else. Just saying, when players don't win, you get viewed as a player who doesn't win. That's it. Whether it's your fault or not, it's on Brunson to win this series. And it's on Judge to win the World Series. But take a step back and recognize that if you're a baseball fan, and you could be a Yankee hater all you want, even you, that's right, you Yankee hater who can't stand the guy, take a step back and recognize what you're watching. Because we are watching one of the greatest offensive players to ever play the game. He astounds on a nightly basis. It's crazy. You can't get him out. You can't pitch to him. And that's the difference. Like, I had this one guy, I believe his name is Chris, and he was hitting me up on Twitter early in the year when we were talking about who's better, Juan Soto or Judge. And he was like, well, the Judge is the more dangerous hitter, but Soto is the more complete hitter. That if you make your pitches, it's easier to get Judge out than it is to get out Soto. And I know that was coming off the World Series, and certainly so far in the postseason, that's been proven to be true. But right now, Like, watch the games. And I'm not, and this doesn't even take Soto at his best. Forget Juan Soto and his struggles at the moment. Take Juan Soto at his very best that he's ever been at any stretch of his entire career. And tell me that it's easier to get Judge out, because I don't see it. I don't see it. He's hitting 427. It is not easier to get Judge out. It's just not. He's on base percentage is better. His batting average is better. Everything about what we're seeing from Judge right now is better than any offensive player you can give me that you would tell me is better, because he hits in the postseason. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Maury and Belmore. Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. I always wondered about why Buchanan? Why not Jefferson? Why not Washington? Why
I have no
Buchanan?
Idea.
That was a good question. I mean, we got to find out one day when he comes under, you know, undercover. But it's an interesting. So two things. Are we done with the coach if they lose against Detroit, which I don't think we will, number one, number two?
I'll be totally honest with you. I wouldn't. I think I would give him one more year with this group.
Agree.
And then if they don't get to an Eastern Conference Finals next year, then I probably fire him. But having said that, if they lose this series and they do decide to fire him, I'm going to have a real tough time getting upset about it. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to lose. I do think that you could see what's going on here. It's very similar to last year. They're going to get into the Boston series, hopefully, and they're going to be beat up. They're going to be doing exactly what you see. Someone's going to have to sit out a game here and there. We'll see how it goes, but I think they're missing one or two pieces, and they're not young. Like, look at Detroit. The oldest person on Detroit is Hardaway Jr. He's 31.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the difference. And then in regards to what I've seen on Cat, he's out of his game when he starts complaining about calls. Just play. He's the softest, largest guy I've ever seen on the court. The softest, largest guy. If I was that big, I'd just go to the hoop every single time. He's soft.
I don't know, man. You think he's soft?
He's soft compared to anybody else that big. Think about Olajuwon. Olajuwon was down low, sharpening his elbows and going to the hoop. Cat's like a little finesse, go to the hoop, be strong. Look at the strong guys on that team. They're out hustling him. Look, they're not getting penalties. They're not getting calls. They're using their body. That's how he used to play basketball.
Yeah, but he's dominated a couple.
Maybe I'm wrong.
He's dominated a couple of these games, though. You make it sound like he's been bad.
Of course he has. I don't say he hasn't, but why can't he do it consistently? He wasn't even in the first half of the game. The last game, he wasn't even in the
first half. No, he had a bad game, but so did Brunson.
I know. So Brunson couldn't hit a
shot. Neither of them could hit a shot.
That was bad.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Maury. Neither of them could hit a shot. That's the issue. All right, real quick before the top, Mike in Flatbush. What's up, Mike?
What's up, C-Mac? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to say I agree with you. The fine was really prohibitive.
$100,000 seems like a lot, and it's because he was careless with important information, and that can't happen. So, like, the fine wasn't even about him. The fine was to warn anybody else who has this information. Like, if you're careless with it, we are going to pound you. Like, that's what it's about. It's not even so much to punish Ulbrich. It's to set the precedent. Like, don't mess around with this stuff. We are going to fine you prohibitively. But I agree. Just on the surface, does the penalty match the crime? I don't know if it does.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up with the Jerky Boys.
I grew up listening to the Jerky Boys, man. Yeah, I mean, it's just a prank phone call. It stinks. And don't get me wrong, it's not just a normal prank where you call up a pool company and, you know, talk about empty pools or whatever nonsense. You call up a guy who put an ad in the paper to be a Jeopardy contestant and just start asking him random questions, which is my favorite Jerky Boys thing. The guy put in his name to be a contestant on Jeopardy, and he just calls him up and he's asking him all these questions, and you're forgetting the answers. Tree falls on the Palisades Parkway. How many minutes before people get there? Like, it's just like stupid questions. But it's just ultimately, he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. Wasn't violent. He didn't, you know, he caused you know, Shador and some other guys like a couple of minutes of stress, which is still stupid. And if I were if I were his father, I'd be furious with him. And I'd be more furious when he cost me $100,000. And again, there's no way that doesn't hurt Ulbrich personally. I guess I could look and see how much money he makes. $100,000 is a hefty fine. That is a hefty fine. And $250,000 for the organization, not as bad. $100,000 on Ulbrich. That's a lot. He looks bad. He's just joining the organization. It makes him look careless. He's coming off having a disastrous run as an interim head coach for the Jets. Like, I mean, it makes him look bad. It makes him look incompetent, and it costs him $100,000. I mean, his son did a doozy on him. I mean, it's his own fault for, it's partly his own fault for allowing it to happen, but, I mean, that is a rough one. I mean, the normal, you know, best dad in the world macaroni, hard macaroni thing is not going to cut it on this Father's Day. He's going to have to step up his game for Father's Day. The world's best dad mug, not going to get it done this year.